That's what they have nitrazine paper for now. It's easy, convenient to pick it up in a store and maybe a town desk if you register. You ever see nitrazine paper? That's your quick way to register your alkaline acid balance. Then you know you're always there. And you check it, the best time to check it is while you're waiting. Nitrazine.
N-I-T-R-A-Z-I-N-E.
Any pharmacy has nitrazine. easy to find your blood type. Your blood type is walk up to some place and offer to take your blood, and then when they take it to the measurement first and give you a reading, then you'll come back. You have to go to the
doctor.
Oh,
very good.
To really give the blood, but as long as what's my blood type? Then can I come back? I got to find a way to say, well, we got to go out and come back. So you know your test. Nighttime.
Because it's made at night?
Yeah.
Okay, now for the eight positive, say for instance, we don't have the eight eggs at night. We can just not have any meat or any eggs or anything like that.
You say. We
have all that stuff done.
No, the eight, if you're, we call it eight plus or minus, if to prevent you from being too. Acid.
Yeah. Stay away from this.
You can stay 100% out of non-meat. A and AB, this type can stay 100% on non-meat even. No problem. Your body is set up for that.
Your
body is set up for that. A and AB.
So I can stay away from A and AB for the whole 9 yards.
Yeah. But then, when you were growing up, you had a bigger craving for meat.
Oh.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm pointing out. It's the funny phenomenon
still there.
Right. This is the challenge.
You can't digest it.
This is the challenge to the mechanism. To work your way through. You see, you came in to work your way through that particular condition. So, the meat will always act as a sort of a probe to keep you in a non-meat situation. So even time when you put the meat in, the body rejects it now, it still wants to generate more craving.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I've eaten roast meat and I get just terrible digestive problems and still want more.
Yeah. That's because the body is tricking you when in actuality you are designed to live without the meat as a human. You can live, function, minus the meat. Type O, they're always craving to be a non-meat eater, no matter how.
Yes.
We, wherever we go, we want to be the ultimate non-meat eater.
Yes.
And we find it, and nature is always playing a little trick for so wait a minute.
Well, couldn't you get that acid in your body of being an O with wheat or something like that that's acid? Rather than do meat that's acid, or is this something beyond the acid and alkaline theory you're going?
It's beyond. Before I'm going to get here, the type A and the type AB, they're designed to be no meat eater.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed to eat the grain that has acid that does not affect them. But if they went and eat the acid from the animal that has uric acid in it, it will affect them. Yet, in a strange way, the body craves the experience. That's the phenomenon. That's the challenge. They can get acid from grain, but acid from grain doesn't have urine in it. Yet, the funny part of the blood system is that individual tends to crave the taste of the acid. It's like you can have a tiger here and feed him rice from the day he's born. You love him, kiss him, till one day you bruise his skin and you taste the blood, and what happens to the tiger now?
It's
right. And that's the kind of reaction happened that the type A and AB has. The body is designed for them to be a non-meat-eater. And yet, in a strange way, they come into homes that give them meat to trigger them. In other words, our so-called existence and horoscope is the challenge. It's our Calvary, it's our cross. The cross of the A and the AB is the lure of the meat as an acid. And the challenge of the B and the O is the lure of being 100% pure without understanding what the pure is, you see?
Could I just, like, would one egg per month satisfy
that? That would satisfy it. Here's another thing. You're not limited to the egg or the meat only as a stabilizer. You have, here's where Paul comes back, and since most people didn't understand what you say, he wrote a letter to Timothy and says, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. And most people say, oh boy. And then Jesus performed the Holy Sacrament. That Holy Sacrament was only a little. And that's a stabilizer for the type B and the type O. You can take a little wine if you don't want to use the egg. So you see now that there, wine comes from grape. Wine comes from all different sources of the light. So a little is a stabilizer. So it's not just the meat. Yeah. It's knowing the blood type and knowing when these things go in as medicine, not as food. They're not put in there as food to rely on. They're put in there as medicine to stabilize the balance.
So I could choose a small amount, say,
in the afternoon, right, exactly, opposed to an egg, and you've got to get that. So the Japanese are smart. They make a one wine that can drink all day, morning, noon, and night. It's called sake, made from rice. Rice is not a grain, it's a grass.
So that would be a milk.
That's for actually type O, for it's best suited to take a little of the sake.
But in the evening.
In the evening.
What about the AB that would be good for me to drink.
A and AB don't need it because you can stay strictly vegetarian. But if you need a little wine, but the wine is all right, but you don't really need it. And you really don't need the meat. But if you try to stay on a meat diet all the time, trying to force yourself on the meat, you'll get sick.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can stay on a non-meat diet, on a non-alcoholic diet, target.
Does the meat increase the desire for alcohol? Like, I've had a problem with alcohol in my life, you know, too, but alcohol, it's a lot, sometimes easier not to drink alcohol than other
meat. Now, look at the blood type. What it did, it made you drink more alcohol, it made you crave more meat, right?
Right, oh yeah.
And this is the challenge to that. You were designed structurally to be a saint.
Right. But I crave alcohol and meat.
Right. To eat you with the butterfly hood. But that little fella inside is like, come on, have a little meat. Have a little. But that's your Calvary. For each blood type, the Calvary is the oppositional food. It's not really a bad thing. Then you understand it, then you can work with it. See, I'm a type O. And I've tried to hunt to be the 100% holier than thou kind of thing. I don't know. Ended up what? Getting more sick or something? That doesn't make sense. Is that this is worse than spirituality can be, yes? Then I realized it didn't open up any more reality to me until I started to accept what it was. Then the higher realities began to open.
Where did you discover it?
Well, I fell off a building, broke my body up. What's
that
theory? Now, in the middle of the day, we need protein. Just clear now? Everybody got it clear? Okay. In the middle of the day, we need protein. So there are two sources of protein in the middle of the day, and the animal protein and the non-animal protein. That's meat or flesh protein or the non-flesh protein. Now, once you know your blood type, there is no fear now, and you know there's a lunar period and there's a solar period. If you don't want to use the flesh protein, with the uric acid, a little of the wine or the alcohol will satisfy the purpose. That's all it's for. It's a medicine. It's not a gorge.
Party.
So there you begin to realize what it's all about. So don't feel that you can't indulge a party, but don't burn them. But you need protein in the middle of the day. You have a choice. If you're the flesh type, then you have the chicken and the beef. If you're the non-meat eater, then you have the seeds and the beans and the grain. They combine grain and beans, you have a complete protein. So if you were living in Louisiana, you didn't want to eat none of their crawfish or their pork sausage, you can fill up on red beans and rice, Louisiana beans and rice.
Could you go back to class at one more time, please?
The non-meat eater has protein from the seeds, grains, and beans. The meat eater has protein from the bird and the four-legged creature in the middle of the day. Now, most birds that you would eat in the middle of the day would be a chicken or a duck. So that's available to you all the time. Chicken, duck, fowl. So if you're looking for meat in the middle of the day, the two-legged range, you have the chicken. If you're looking for four-legged range, you have a deer, cow. But what's available, I'm talking about, is not available. You always gravitate to the goat, cow. But that is for people who want to eat the meat as a protein. Now, the problem with a protein of a meat type, you know now, is the uric acid. And you know it doesn't really decompose, it doesn't digest, it decomposes in the stomach. That's the danger of it. As the fact of life and hurting a creature, everything is hurting one another. If you hurt when you bite a carrot, the way it cries, would you eat it anymore? But you see, you aren't ready for that. And when you get ready for that, then you start to do a shift from mouth to nose. Good. Now, you smell a flower when it's opening up. I hear it cry because it lost its beautiful fragrance. Very good, you know, flower. So, you remember Teresa of Newman, she said, please don't cut the flower. Let alone, please don't smell it.
Yeah.
She was in that evolution. So, every phase of evolution has a vanquish. You never seem to get out of this situation. But, be as it may, they were designed to be used and not abused. And so, if you touch a little of it, it's just for medicine. Not to overindulge. But it's there and not to be afraid. And that's what you're trying to get. You're understanding when the thing goes in. If you have to use the four-legged or the two-legged, middle of the day is ideal. If you don't have to use it, do without it. To put in something else to replace it. So, for an acid balance. So, nature plays the alcohol. That's why Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. He knew that Timothy was traveling to all parts of the world to teach. And naturally, in that part of the world, what are you going to serve? Because if you're going to serve in the different things, and if he's going to follow and pursue a spiritual internal growth, he's going to get come up with it. And will that take anything to correct it? Well, I had a student years ago, his name was Robin. Robin was with the Peace Corps before I met him. And he was a very wonderful young man, straightforward, wouldn't touch anything wrong. Tried to live his own life, and went to work at the Peace Corps. He was sent to Turkey. And there in Turkey, he contracted the needed dysentery. He didn't know what to do, and it starts to spread and the body got sick from it. And then you have to be sent back home. And they gave him a lot of chemistry to correct it. Then he didn't. Then I met Robin. He'd gone through every type of therapy. And you could have talked to him many kind of therapy. But he didn't read it. About. So he said, I said, I'm going to tell you only one thing, friend. You're so clean that you smell it. Too pure. You need a little stinkiness to get healthy.
What?
I said, yeah. You better go buy yourself a little bottle of sake and drink it. I said, then you want to keep on living with a dysentery in the body? I said, if you can really live it. And I can't turn that back. I can tell you something to do to help it. If you want to accept what Paul said, to give you a little wine for your stomach soup, take it for what? It's not food, it's medicine. Even if you take one teaspoon, drink it, and it'll start phasing down. So let me think of it. 24 hours passed and he came back. He says, you're back? He says, yeah. He says, strange feeling I got. That's it. That is sake. This is what he said. The way you said drink the sake or it'll help you, I was thinking of it and I actually heard your voice say, drink the sake for your health's sake. Sake and sick is not the same way. He says, that made me come back.
Nice.
So far. He said, for your health's sake, Sake, no. S-A-K-E. He said, that woke me up and I came back. I said, okay. Then he drank it. But he had already gone too far in the deterioration. And he lived a little longer than he was assigned by the doctor. The doctor said he wouldn't last more than 6 months. But he lived 2 years and slowed it down. But eventually, when he did pass away, he was much more in tune in himself. And what he was striving for, the realization, he accomplished it the last few days before he passed away. He got to the somatic state. And well, the doctors just say it was liver deterioration by the bacterial invasion, and they couldn't stop it. But because he was so pure, the liver, the bacteria had a heyday. Had he had a little impurity, it wouldn't make it. See, sometimes it's not the impurity, it's when it goes in that inhibits the problem. Exactly. You're now realizing what they're saying. It takes a little of it to stop it. All right. I think the people want to go eat lunch now.
What,
do you suggest what grains and seeds and stuff to eat for midday? What specific ones do you think are good?
All grains, all seeds are ideal in the middle of the day.
All grains, all seeds
are ideal in the middle of the day. And all beans are ideal in the middle of the day.
Sprout them first.
Sprout them is fine. Boil and cook it is fine. Once you make it into a sprouted process, then it becomes neutral to the mechanism. This is one of the things with tofu, white tofu. That's that way. Even when they make the soy sauce out of it from the soybean. Soybean is the only bean that seems to perform this evolution. Once you change it from a regular bean into a fermented function of a cheese, and that's what tofu really is,
right.
A vegetable cheese, it can be eaten night and daytime. But it's not ideal in the morning. Yet the liquid drain off to make a miso, that's what you can drink up in the morning, noon, and night, because it has seaweed now. It's one of those funny phenomena of nature to offset radiation. It was discovered in Hiroshima, the doctors there, that the body will accept it and work with it in a life cycle time. But at that time when they were doing it, it never dawned at them that the time was so critical, but they knew it had some effect on the body in the morning and the noon and night in a miso form, and in the cheese form, it was better for the patient middle of the day on or night time. But when they gave it to them in the morning, because the only food that the patient, the nuclear burn patient could handle was the soybean, they found it different times, but not practical in a different way they made it. If they made it as a miso or a sauce, and soup form, and if they added barley, they could have it morning, noon, and night. If they gave them the cheese, with only the noon and the night. But they didn't even, they never dawned them that the time was playing an important part. They only noticed that the patient would complain, so they would remove it and say, okay, eat it. But then when I came into it, I was in the, after the war, I was in the hospital, and we used to do our researches on microbiology. It dawned on me that, hey, if it's good in the morning, a certain condition, and not good in the middle of the day, and another type of taking the same stuff and preparing it in a different way, from the sauce or soup form to a more gel form, then different forms of heat have different time reactions. Now, you take a grain, and for instance, like barley, it's the middle of the day, made as a bread, made as a food, cooked with the other foods, perfect. If you boil it and make milk out of it, you can give it to a baby, morning, noon, and night. If you got upset stomach, you take the barley and boil it into like a milk, strain it, take out the barley, get the milk of it, you can drink it morning, noon, and night. The temperature ratio and the reaction pattern, the time is different for certain people. And but you see what we're saying. It was not putting in as a food, it's putting in as a medicine. And that is where it was doing its job. So a little for your stomach's sake was a little for medicine's sake. So once you know the blood type, and each one has the right on type, oh, I've tried for years, until I have to get back to the normal rationalization. Then my memory started to increase again, and all the different parts picked up. I was just phasing down, going, heading back into the grave.
Now, for type B and O, about lunchtime, does that mean sake every lunch?
If you can use a little sake, because it's made from grass, that's one advantage of the grass family, more than the other types. See, the rice is a neutral food. And it's funny how it works in the body. If you take one tong of wild rice, the three prongs of brown rice, you have the ultimate protein for all three kinds of the pig. Ultimate protein. One tong of wild rice, three prongs of brown rice. You combine it together, one tong of wild rice.
Wild rice is really...
And 3 pounds of brown rice is a 3-to-1 ratio. You combine it, you can eat it morning, noon, and night.
Cheaper in hospital, Bill.
Yep.
Cheaper in hospital, Bill.
Well, I'll put it this way. If you can't get almonds, you can get the combination of wild rice and brown rice, and you eat it as a protein base, so especially people who don't want to eat meat. Then you've got the ideal protein going in.
Long grain and short grain?
You see the one. The short grain has a little more acid than the long grain. The long grain is a little more alkaline.
What causes the body to produce lots of mucus? My particular situation, I've been really mucus prone and I gave up dairy products pretty much and things over the years, but I still get overloaded with mucus, probably not eating right, the cycles and everything.
All right. Yes. Number one, let's look back. What do you normally eat for breakfast?
Look way back?
Or? No, just get to the time you're eating them. What do you eat for breakfast?
Well, today I didn't eat much of a breakfast at all. So I was telling you last night, I eat grains like, I eat cereal like oatmeal, maybe some raisins and a banana.
They will produce mucus at the wrong time. If you're going to eat a grain, eat it lunchtime.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you eat it in the morning, you'll get the mucus. That's the one problem with the food. Out of its time cycle. The first real evidence about the time cycle is gas, second mucus, three, hardening of the tissues. Then, eventually, you'll get the cracking up of the skin. This is the gradual, then your body becomes more and more toxic, and then the organs started to clog up. But mucus is the first formation of the time cycle. But the gas will be first.
I've had throat problems. I got some polyps in my throat.
That is the hardening formation of the mucus, going to the next stage. If the gas is first, then the mucus, then the hardening of the tissue. That's a polyp would be. That means the minerals are moving too slow from the mucus bonding range. They're not going on time, they're not getting out on time, and they're locking in and settling into the areas. So if you start phasing off the grain in the morning and start eating the grain in the day.
Definitely. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to learn everything.
That's why
I
we
can.
Give you a whole list of foods that you can start picking them up on.
I'm going to get my blood type.
You have protein in the form of the seafood, the egg, and that's in the non-meat range. But again, I would point out that the egg in this country is not really taking a life. It's coming from an unfertilized process. Therefore, it's really not toxic to your body.
In fact, it sort of confuses me though. It's like you put an e-meter on an egg and still get a pulse rate, and even it's still infertile. And I guess it's because they're getting the life force from a higher plane.
Let me clarify again. The life force in an organism is set to react at certain points in time in the human body. At night, your body will utilize that organism without any repercussion or residual reaction. Now, you put the body to a test. Wanna come over here? Are you ready? We're gonna do a kinesiological measurement on him. And since he doesn't like to eat egg, we just wanna check the body rhythm time, what the body does handle or does not handle egg, say. I had to go through a lot of deprogramming in my own brain to get the body to get healthy again. Return to the strength that it was familiar with. I knocked out a great deal of my muscular strength when I got in martial arts from the rock program too. So the body would do this type of a reaction, feel I don't want that anymore. I'm not realizing where the origin of it came from. But once you recognize it comes from sonics, it comes from programming, then you can check it out, the validity of what the body will do. And what it will not do. In your body right now, your body will handle without any residual action, biological, mental, or spiritual, the egg at night, around the full moon time, just to stabilize the balance of the body.
Now, is this for every night?
Not necessarily every night, but
twice a month?
Before around the full moon, you can even check out how many times your body will tell you how much you can handle.
In fact, you could technically just have the albumin on the white. Yeah.
All right.
Sure. Okay. British cameras. I think of eating eggs 7 times in the time of cold.
Yes. That's too much. Let me see.
Think of eating it 5 times. Think of eating it 3 times. Think of eating it once at a time before. So actually, one, in fact, I think you got an even a little stronger reaction from one for some reason. This
all right, now test it for the whole month. How many can you handle in the whole month?
Okay. Okay. In other words, at another time, possibly.
Yeah.
June. Okay. Think of eating 7 eggs over the period of the
real cure.
So the cure. Clean wheatgrass diet and all this. Absolutely pure. Your body would not be able to tag anything. So sometimes even a homeopathic amount of a certain toxin in your body would activate the immune system so it says, okay, that's Bob's big boy cheeseburger, so activate it. You can practically lick it almost to get effect, but the body would be able to identify it and fight it. Otherwise, the immune system has no way of identification. This is a very elaborate identification program in the body. In other words, you get it so pure that finally your body can't fight anything. If anything comes along, in fact, you go to the big city and you're over alkaline, and since the tissues aren't coated, the smog could actually kill you, while it wouldn't hurt if you're over acid or some disease from other reasons.
It's good to be in cure then, huh? Oh boy, I'm talking about the wrong title first.
Not in pure. Correct. A little toxicity is ideal, and not at all, and too much, you know, believe.
Because of the environment.
Because of the environment we're in here right now. If we were here like maybe 400 years ago, then we could be more pure.
Right. So if you have to function in and out in the air and we're living in gas chambers and evolution, we have to make adjustments. And the adjustments is like a spare tire on the car. You're not gonna go down that road without a spare tire. Even though the car is old and the road is, you still get a spare tire for emergency backup. So the same way, a little toxicity is sort of an emergency spare tire. Not too much. Or none at all. You see, again, it's not too bad. You have a little to stabilize. See, because if a bacteria attacks you and you're too pure, and those immune systems don't have anything to fight, suddenly now they don't have anything to. They haven't kept any reserve to label what this toxic substance is coming into them, because it may not be the one that they're familiar with, so it's too pure. What happens if they start phasing up? And then that bacteria start reacting. So it has to have something to tag along and relate it to stabilize. It's like a boat going out in the ocean. You don't carry a lifeboat with it. It's at the mercy of the ocean if there's a problem. We're always going to be at the mercy of nature if we don't have some kind of stability backup. And the stability backup is not necessarily something that we're going to feel is ideal, but it's there to do its job. The anchor looks farther the side of the boat, but it's very necessary when the wind is blowing in the high sea. The captain, he lowers that anchor, he stays there, and he rocks. See, but it's important. He doesn't like to carry it, but it's important for the situation. See? All right. Nighttime food, the protein comes from the marine life and the egg, and you have protein from the peanut as a non-meat eater, peanut at night, and you have the protein from the mushroom, and you have the protein from the baked potato at night.
Oh, that's spirulina.
And that's, there is spirulina, yes, the algae, it's all night. So there you have your... Now, the reason why it bonds better at night is because it's a water product, and most of your water foods are under the ground, are in darkness. All the marine life is in water, and they have to feed off of algae, they have to feed off of seaweed and so forth. So it has a better effect on your body within that light cycle. So it's easy for you to relate better or correct better if you feel in that kind of thing. Yes. Now, here we come back. Just please say, because we're going to start looking now here at the body. We're looking at structural strength. In this range, you have the lungs. In this range, you have the kidneys and the bladder. And in this range, you have the intestines. Structurally, the way light handles different foods, the hardest food for this structure are the trees. Protect the head. The vitamin C content is in the citrus food for the lungs. They're all in light one, in zone one. Now structurally, here you don't have no bones. The bone is here, and the bone is here, right? All you have is the central bone, which is the lumbar region. All around it you have your vital organs, like vines running in. That's zone two. All the foods that grow in zone two are designed specifically for cleaning the colon, the bladder, and the kidney. And the vitamin C for the antitoxin is set up in the nightshade family. That is where we start encountering the nightshade family now. Because it requires a tremendous heat for vitamin C to do their job in there. And you can't get citrus fruits. The moment you put heat to a citrus fruit, it's gone. The moment you put heat to an acerola cherry, it's gone. So that's why you have to put it in your mouth and swallow it. Don't drink no hot liquid in it. It's knocked out. But now, nature comes along, she knowing fully well, man is a creature. He ain't really sophisticated. He's going to walk across the ground. And the first thing of eating, when you didn't have no fire, was to huddle together in a cave. And then anything you saw, you hit it on the head and grab it and eat it. You didn't cook it. So if you look at the evolution of yourself, and if you look at the way enzymes and molecules are working, they're all feeding off of each other inside on a tissue range. So this may sound crude, but the biological cannibalism already exists in us. At the level of the enzymic makeup of the body. So it's not when we come out to do it externally, it's out of stress, not necessarily a body system. But that's the stress that does it. Eating the creature is under stress. Nature knows that you've got to go through stress to evolve. So in the evolving, you're going to go from meat to non-meat. Eventually you'll move on to non-meat in time. Processes. We're in that stage now, how to work at the time. I don't say meat is the ideal form of food. It's not the ideal form of food to survive in this time cycle. The non-meat food is the ideal, but knowing the time that to put things in is the next level of evolution. The way you go to phase up the body to be more efficient. So you're moving on. Vitamin C is necessary. So in the nightshade family, she plays tomato and the bell pepper. But in the tomato, more so than the bell pepper, because the tomato grows on the vine and is referred to as a fruto vegetable. That means it's neither of classified as a total fruit, not classified as a total vegetable in the structure of it. It's a fruto vegetable. Now a fruto vegetable behaves like a bat. A bat is a bird that flies, that has no wings, has a face like a rat, and hangs himself upside down. And they hunt only at night in the dark. And that's the amazing thing about the tiger. Now, that's in like a nightshade family. Alright. Tomato climbs like a vine and behaves like a vegetable, at the same time behaves like a fruit. Alright. The tomato has vitamin C. If you apply heat to vitamin C, it will be gone. If you take the tomato and you cook it till it's almost burnt out, you could never really destroy the vitamin C. Because your intestinal tract develops a tremendous amount of heat when you eat food to break down the mass. And so, any amount of vitamin C that goes in there for the intestinal tract to correct the intestinal catarrh has to be of an intense heat ratio. And tomato, when it's cooked or not, is the only food that can go in there and withstand that intestinal heat and carry the antitoxin in the middle of the day. So you have the intestinal catarrh, intestinal mucus, it's not a part of it, versus the nasal or lung mucus. Now you have intestinal mucus. Lung mucus, you need a citrus fruit. Middle of the day, catarrh mucus, or intestinal mucus, intestinal catarrh, you need a tomato to break it up. Now the nightshade family works different. In the daytime, it takes in carbon dioxide and gives out oxygen. Nighttime, when the sun goes down, it becomes like a human being now. It takes in oxygen and gives out carbon dioxide. So you know what's going to happen if you keep a nightshade family plant in your house. That's why a lot of people got sick and almost died from sleeping indoors with plants of the nightshade family. Because it reverses action at night. All others maintain their action of oxygen release, carbon dioxide taken in. Nighttime, the nightshade family reverses. So the intestinal mucus or intestinal catarrh requiring a tremendous heat, tomato must go in there to offset it, otherwise it'll break it. Try to get a problem. Now, unless the tomato is vine ripened, I don't suggest that you eat too much raw ones, because you're going to get another reaction of the oxalic acid in the kidney. So you're going to get kidney stones. So don't blame nobody. Yeah, she's a smart kid. Come back to tell us that's what threw me with the last time. Eat the tomato, I prefer to eat it cooked, because at least I know the oxalic action in the raw state would not affect the kidney. And in the cooked state, the vitamin C is for the intestinal mucus.
I think that nightshade family was bad for people with arthritis. Is that true? That's what I have, I've read some. But the health food store had a book out and said that nightshade family is bad for people with arthritis.
And the people who eat that and have arthritis, invariably I go to the cafeteria and I see them going like that at 7 o'clock in the evening with a tomato and the spaghetti in the morning. So they have the arthritic condition. Why? They're eating the spaghetti and they're eating the tomato at the wrong time. So the crystals are building up in their joints. And it's not passing out. They need it in the middle of the day, but they'll tell you, oh, I don't like it in the daytime, I like it for supper. Oh, I don't like macaroni, I like it for supper. And for a friend of mine who had arthritic condition, when he got corrected, and then he started to eat If you have arthritic problems, you'll find the other tell you don't crack your joints. Yes, no, maybe. You can crack the joint if you get this. Don't do that to your joints. I had arthritis. All these were swollen. So, because I used to crack my joints like that, I squeezed out the fluid from between the joints, forcing the joints to elongate and bulge up, crystallizing the carbon dioxide, until I start correcting them and changing the diet. So I have to pull them back this way. This way they're designed to move. This is the therapeutic way to move your joints. Because they're designed to go that way, but they're not designed to go sideways. The grain is ideal for them to eat as long as they eat it in the middle of the day. Don't eat it at night and don't put in the tomatoes. Now at noon time they can get by. But when a person is sick like that, you know, they don't want to mess around. They've been doing lunar eating all most of the time. That's where they got the problem. You have to recorrect them. Now, the structure of the body is a lumbar region. There's very weak joints coming in the middle of the back now. There are very few foods designed for the backbone in this area of the body to strengthen it. To keep this part of your anatomy flexible, I'll go in any direction you want. There are only a few foods left in nature are like built for that. That's the accommodation. That's the corn, the cane, the sunflower, anything that comes with a stalk. They are designed for the back. Now the bamboo is designed for the back, but we can't use bamboo shoots because it's in the water. So we don't eat the bamboo. We eat the bamboo shoots at night. See the bamboo shoots, we eat them at night. But you see, if you look at a bamboo, how flexible it is and how it's shaped like joints. That's exactly what you have, the same flexibility. So what is in the food then that we need? In the corn, the bamboo, and the cane, we need is a silicon in combination with calcium. So the goat cheese makes a good silicon and calcium combination with cucumber or pickle. Salt pickle, dill pickle, not the other kind, good old fashioned dill pickle. You combine the two now and eat your feta cheese. You ever eat feta cheese? Steak and goat milk. That's the ideal calcium, and the cucumber is the ideal silicon, so you can eat it and work on these backbones. If you broke them, you'll find out pretty fast how ideal it is. Then you combine it with the ghee for the bone marrow. So between this range and this range, any person with back problems or lumbar problems, they start correcting. Otherwise, they'll always have a problem and it'll be lower and stuff like that.
Are you talking about lunchtime?
Yes, lunchtime. Yeah.
This is okay, lunchtime, that was correct there.
Yeah.
So tomato juice and then or cucumber and goat cheese.
They build that bony area in the back because that's the weak part. Anytime you lift an object, look at this, the typical way of most people lift an object. Don't they always lift it like this? See how my foot is? That's so what happened. They hurt it. They never do like this, to pick up. They never, so the flexibility, they never think of doing that. So they all go rush it, pick up, and then the back is out. If you don't have any bone support, and that's a very vulnerable area. So if you hurt it, eventually it's going to break down. Now the bone area in the foot, this here is more solid bone. All of the solid bone from here on down. And it's got to support the body to stand up. got to be firm, the muscles got to be more rigid. So the food that goes under the ground gives more strength to the knees and the thighs and the ankles. And you need alkaline foods for that, for this lower region of the body. So your carrots, your radishes, your beets, they build, their chemistry is designed for this area of the body. The seaweed for the gonad and the uterine canal, the egg, the fish, is all for the reproductive organs in the lower part of the anatomy. Have you ever heard the story says, deny the girl, she said, they're funny, you're horny enough. And his friend says, they invite them to feed them some oysters. Now, where does oysters grow? In the ocean, right? So it's iodine, seaweed. Where does it affect? It affects the regenerative organs. Now, it's not a comical situation that these things are not here. It's of nature in our own proportionate absorption and time cycle set up the anatomy for hard bone, protective relationship, soft bone in the middle, and hard bone for the other relationship. You can quicker do that to somebody and push them over than take a blue hair and push them over. See? Here and here can take a lot of pressure, but here you can't take it. So in the middle of the day, you find that you want more foods high in silicon to build up this flexibility in him. That's why I say cool as a cucumber. Eat cucumbers. Eat your lentils. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, fry them if they try. Right? And that's what lentils are. They pulse in the food that they eat. And in the middle of the day, you add that with your rice now. Brown rice is high in silicon. You combine the brown rice and the wild rice and your lentils, and you've got with your cucumber, you've got the silicon dish. And it gives all these lower muscles here and all this lumbar here, together with the feta cheese, all this funky leaf. Now you can understand why they say the donkey, the beast of burden. He can carry more weight there because most of the way he eats, grass, you can get all the silicon in. So, yet the donkey carry more weight than the horse. But it's really strong in that area. Yeah, right. But the point is that they will gravitate to more where the silicon is in the grass than the other creatures. They'll come along and even though a horse will eat here, or a mule will eat here, or a cow, they will still go look for where the actual silicon is in the grass. No, they don't. But they have a sense of unification going on at certain light cycles that you call cats do it, they call cat napping. They're really not asleep. If you leave a horse or an animal for a while, you may take it like that. He's really not sound asleep. He's doing that. He's napping. When you get close, he starts waking up. Unless he's sick, then you lay over there and not bother you. But normally when he's napping, he woke up his eyes and look at him. He really never totally waking up. The lower region of the bone, you need the hard vegetables to build them up. And most of your vitamins for the body at night work in the opposite area, like your eyes and in the lower regions of the body. Especially where the eyes, they have to relate to the outside world, the darkness. Anything to do with darkness, you need your eyes. And so, vitamin A is for the eyes, it's found in darkness. And the alkalinity of the carrot you find a major center. Now you can take vitamin C now. You don't need vitamin C at night. We have it for the middle of the day. We have it for morning, right? We have to have a food now where the vitamin C is the antitoxin vitamin for all 3 periods of the day. So your antitoxin must go in. That antitoxin vitamin must go in every day. Nighttime, the vitamin C is found in the pineapple, but in a strange way, nature places it in a medium known as alcohol. No vitamin can function in alcohol. All vitamins will phase themselves out in alcohol. All vitamins will phase themselves out with too much heat. They have to either be in a liquid or an oil base to move. Right? So here you have a problem. Where can you find a vitamin now that is going to be stable in alcohol? Because we need it for medicines. We need it for certain problems in the body. And the medium to put it in the body, if in the whole, if it's in a liquid or oil, you need it in an alcohol base. So she has made the maguey plant, which is a cactus. It doesn't grow on a tree. It doesn't grow on a vine. It belongs to the bromeliad family, like the aloe vera, pineapple. They're all the bromeliad family. And the leaves of that plant are similar like the pubic hair. All the pubic hair is designed in the body. They're curved away like the arch, like the pubic bone area. And the fruit in is the representation of organs in the human body. So nature had to put it like that to make us realize that there is an integration in the chemistry of problems in those parts of the anatomy. Now, anytime we have a genital problem that's toxic or any kind of a catarrh or mucus formation, the vitamin C has to go in there to fight. And we know herpes is a drastic deficiency of semen. So drastic that your body can't cope at that immune level. And if it breaks down. So, putting in vitamin C and getting it massive doses was the only way you're trying. But they found out it wasn't holding. In an alcohol base, it will go through and hold. So the maguey plant, which you make tequila from, you find the vitamin C for the first time. Nature is holding it there. So a little tequila at night, and if not too much, again, stabilize the mucus build up in the genital organs. Now you can also use it for lubrication or wash, just as much as you can drink it, because vitamin C, when applied in an alcohol base, acts as a disinfectant. So you see how nature gave it. Aloe vera is bromine. It grows it's the bromeliad family. It's like a pineapple spore. But the aloe vera doesn't have seed. The maguey plant, when it's converted into an alcohol, the seed is appears in it, not before them. You have to go through that process, then the vitamin C starts emerging. So you find it now in the tequila or the alcohol of the maguey plant. You'll find the seed in the pineapple. Yes. So if you have a pina, tequila.
Why do you have in your cola? Why can't you just have the pineapple?
The pineapple seed is good if you're to prevent the problem. But if you are sick in that area and you need a drastic cleaning, the pineapple will take too long to do it.
Yes.
You need an alcohol base to clean that organ. Remember, the thing is going as medicine, it's not going as food. I don't say that anything in this nature is designed for food more than once a day. try it as you like, you'll end up sick. There is no food in nature designed by nature to be eaten more than once a day. Unless you're using it for medicine or you're traumatized. If you're using it for medicine, 3 times a day, that one food. If you're traumatized, you'll crave it more than once a day. As a natural maintenance of the body, you only need it once a day, built within your life cycle. And the body adheres to it, like it or not, the evidence is your own strength, what you can do before and after. If you want to test your strength after, before and after, here's a good way to measure yourself from now. Put up the stuff that you want to lift up, and use your regular eating and see how many times you can lift it up, and then switch over to life cycle eating, and then within a length of time, see how much you lift up. And we have a friend who lives in Carpentier, his name is Hugo, and he's an education, physical nutrition, engineer and everything. And then he heard of solar nutrition long before I met him. He rigorously tested it and told him off. Well, tell them some of the excuses.
Yeah, well, when I met Hugo, he already could do 300 push-ups and run 30 miles. Definitely, he was coming at that solar nutrition at a level which was really interesting. Of someone who was really physically fit, people were looking and saying, "My God, you know, he's all muscle and yet cardiovascular at the same time." Well, he did notice that he had a hypoglycemia problem and a couple other things which he was working on. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, by the time he's been on solar nutrition 2.5 years, he quickly went up to 400 push-ups and was able to anyway increase other exercises. His insomnia went away, his hypoglycemia is balanced, and you can even change someone at a level like that dramatically.
Also, I had another person who did running in Houston, Texas. He used to race every Sunday, and they knew what it's called, a 10-to-1 mile run on Sunday. And he never could win. And he came over to me and said, "Dan, I've known you so long, I hate to ask you this. What can I do to win a race?" I said, "We need another race too." He said, "I've been racing with all these guys in my club that I belong to, but they're living ahead of me." I said, "You really want to win?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay. How do you run your race?" He said, "In the morning." "Do I run that?" "Yeah." I said, "What do you carry to run the race?" "Oh, I take my apple juice with me. I'm happy. And I run." I said, "Is that all?" He said, "Well, the first 10 miles, I drink the juice, and then we stop for a quarter, and then the next 11 miles, I take the juice and I run. But then by the time I get to 20 miles, I'm tired, and I can't keep up with my friends. I'm passing me." And that's what he said. I said, "Okay. I tell you, do it. Tomorrow is a race." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you take one can of apple juice with you and one can of orange juice with you. Fill the bottle up, and you run your first portion of the race with your apple juice. And as soon as you finish your 10-mile run, you switch into your orange juice and see what happens." At 12 o'clock, my clinic is open. And where is he coming in with a prize in hand?
"What the hell you teach this guy to beat us in?" And Ron is laughing all over his face. "And then I did it and then I did it." So they want to know what the heck he did to beat them, because they've been beating him all the time. And here's a race. They said, "So I said, well, tell me about the race, what happened?" He said, "We'll talk. Leave Ron, he can blow." He said, "When we reached 15 miles, we thought we had this guy beat because we knew his pattern method. But at 15 miles, this man was moving twice the speed of us, walking away from us to the 21 mile. We could never figure it out. And the biggest guy who knew and run," he said, "I don't believe this. What I'm seeing is not possible. He know Ron too much. He beat Ron so much. What has Ron got today?" And he said, "He was that much 10 minutes ahead of them, sitting down, waiting for them." And he, right. So, They came up and said, what is it that we did? I said, only did he switch into the food at the right time cycle. He was drinking apple juice in the morning, and then the second lap of the race, he drank orange juice, apple juice, which didn't help because the lactic acid had built up so much from the first run that the apple juice was able to keep the lactic acid under control. And then it took the second lap of the race, instead of holding the back, it was starting to slow down. Lactic acid was building up faster than the apple juice could cope with. You had too much of the same thing. By switching him into the citric acid, the vitamin C, the antitoxin vitamin, stabilized the mucus formation of the lactic acid, thus not making the muscles tired. And instead of the muscles getting tired, it became what now? Like a Superman, the start work still speeding up. So he was getting more springy towards the end of the race and less tired at the end of the race. So when he walked in with the prize, he was like a little kid springing along and he could have told him down. But that's what the orange juice did. Yet in the same light cycle. So the fellows said, man, then they became interested in nutrition because they wanted to learn more about it. It's the condition of taking two things within the same period too quick, it will slow down. Now if you alternate it, one apple and citrus within the same given time to run, the body. Now if they were running further than that into the afternoon, in the daytime, instead of taking another orange juice, which they have at least called, I saw that race there in Boston. They had only two juices, apple and orange, and they were running up to 1 to 2 o'clock. So you can imagine, after 12 o'clock, the people like that, dragging themselves. And I was laughing to a friend that says, you can join the race now if you want, and drink some tomato juice. And that was Mrs. Everly's son, Fred. He said, you mean I can join the race now and pick up? I said, yeah. From midday to 2 o'clock. Takes a tomato juice. Okay, he got himself a can of tomato juice, drank it, and he started off in the top of it. He was up in the front. The people were wondering what he did, because they know he wasn't such a good runner. But what he put in that impeded the lactic acid from building up was food, and the tomato already has one. An antitoxin vitamin C that would phase down the lactic acid buildup from the body's own propulsion. So he was naturally ahead of the rest. So you need vitamin C in all three phases to keep the body from building up the lactic acid in the basic form. Okay.
I even talked about like yogurts and things. What kind of things are
dairy products from the cow should be in the middle of the day. Yogurt made from the cow is in the middle of the day. But you have one problem. Even though it's in the middle of the day, the rennet in the dairy product in your own intestinal tract to break it down is not present there because you phase it out at a certain age. Within a certain age, Orientals phase out rennet at age 14. We don't have it no more in our system to break it down. Age 16 to 18, the European doesn't have it to break it down. 18 to 19, the Negro doesn't have anymore to break it down. And the Indian in India, up to 21, then after that he does not know to break it down. So we find that different racial groups have different time to phase it out. Yet, if we take the dairy product from the goat
which is like alkaline, like your own body milk, then you can handle it at any age because it's alkaline, it's not acid in reaction. But when it comes to the cow, it will phase it out, and then you will have two things happen. Your body will handle it around lunar time without any effect, but during the regular time, it has a tendency to build up mucus. And if you add other foods that aggravate it, the mucus builds up too fast. So, though it's ideal to be eaten in emergency, don't overdo it. The goat can be eaten
anytime at 8?
No, middle of the day. Now, when you're young and you need milk and you can't get it from your mother or the baby, then the goat milk can be taken morning, noon, and night. But when the child goes past the pubertary age, he doesn't need it in the morning, he needs it in the middle of the day. And so Mahatma Gandhi will drink his milk around midday, and he will carry his goat with him and milk it, sit down and drink his milk. And he said, if I found that dates, it was later on when he found out about dates, he said, had I known about dates in my early youth, I would make a meal of goat milk, cheese, and dates. He says, a perfect combination of the ideal non-mucus food. You eat the dates in the morning, and eat his goat milk and cheese in the afternoon, and you wouldn't have any problem. Because actually, those two foods, which you want to combine them just around midday, to make your meal from what we call the breaking time, when you shift over from 11:30 to 12 o'clock, just at that breaking time between the date and the goat. Would be the ideal time for taking all two combinations, the date and the milk together. It will make a perfect brunch.
So you can combine it?
Just at a phase in time. Yes, that's the time you want to combine it. You can take the dates and combine the goat cheese at the phase in time, and that's what we call the phase in time, and it will do the job.
You can get
at other times? Yeah, evening time.
Like almonds with citrus?
Yes, almonds and citrus.
I love the fruit with yogurt, and so any fruit can be mixed at that time that people are running through and fall, and I expect it to find them as chicken and
make sure it's a. That it's not citrus fruit. Because citrus fruit will not go with milk, it will curdle. And therefore, it will clog up your system. So don't put citrus, don't put orange fruits or grapefruit with it, but that would be yogurt. The only reason we remember one thing, I hate to say this, in our society, we are a convenience nation. Convenience to the extent that we would like to put all kind of products into one container and make it taste good. It doesn't say it tastes for health. It tastes good and sells a lot because it's for the convenience, but not well and very healthy. If you're going to use a fruit with your yogurt in the morning and you want to do that, I would suggest the strawberries in the afternoon. They go good in the yogurt beautifully. Now if you want to use a morning fruit, banana, they'll go good with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other fruits don't like the tend to curdle. If mango goes good, the papaya goes good, pears go good. But the other foods don't go too good because they react. So it's not such an ideal combination. But at the phase in time, it'll get by with it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make it a constant habit because mucus will start building up, especially if you don't know your own degree of toxicity, the mucus will build up. But if you know your level, then you can handle it.
Why is strawberries not
green? Strawberries grow on a bush, they don't grow trees.
So it would be orange.
Orange is mine, it grows on a tree.
Okay.
See, if you look out and you have a chance to do a lot of farming now, because you're exposed to a lot of farming now, then you start to see how it's growing. Strawberries are bush, oranges on the tree.
All berries.
All berries are in the afternoon. Because they're in the bush.
Pineapple.
No, pineapple is not a tree, man. No.
You were out there.
In a clump.
This is how they grow. Clump. Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's how it's duplicating the inverse action of the pelvic bone to the genitive organs. It's nature's way to heal these organs and nurture these organs. That's why she put the aloe vera as a plant.
Which aloe vera used to take away from the...
Aloe vera is ideal for all your problems of life. So aloe vera goes like that, like civic heal to be solved. Now, any problems in the genital organs, rectal area, aloe vera will heal. Now, again, aloe vera is an unusual plant as a therapy, not as a food. That's why it's put in there as a therapy. The pineapple is put in as a food. See, that would be the pineapple. It's put in as a food. Aloe vera is put in as a therapy. Now, what is so unique about aloe vera as a therapy, the whole body can use aloe vera morning, noon, and night. You can use it on the gums. You can use it on the hair. You can use it on the face, the skin, top, armpits, burns, anything. Because it's a bromeliad. And bromeliads not only grow on the ground, bromeliads tend to hang. If you take a hang it in the air, there are some bromeliads. Just use other trees as what we call a parasite. That's, they're like a parasite. If they get out of a tree, they'll use it and hang themselves and leech off this light off the air. So they tend to go. So the bromeliad comes in three different ranges. Those that hang on trees, those that hang on bushes, those that hang on the ground. The aloe vera, being related to the bromeliad, will behave like that, especially in therapy if you want to rub it on your skin, teeth, and specifically for this part of the anatomy, if there are any kind of burns or intestinal or urinary problems or nephro problems. Yes, very, very good. Now, the Chinese people have been using it for facelift a long time ago, and they found out they really don't have slant eyes. They were doing facial lift. They were pushing out the skin. And then it became a genetic repetition. That was a funny part. Because the eyes can't really slant, because the skin only can pull up. And so when you really do come back, oh, it's a wrong eye. Turn on the screen. Comedy. Now, all your facial techniques. So they call it face lift, they don't call it face drop.
Face drop.
So to pull the skin because it sagged, you see, you pull it back up.
I thought that was because they were pink for us.
Well, the pigtail would keep the head up so you can pull it.
Yes.
Really. More and more than recognizing a lot of things.
Also, there's not really much to have.
Oh yes, at night? No, the food at night.
No, fruits.
Fruits at night.
It's not native.
There's
no
fruit.
Yeah, fruits, buddy.
No,
it's not like vegetables.
Let's come to what you're just saying. Okay. This in a snacking time versus loading up on the food. Snacking time is what tells us that nature intended us to cycle out every food we eat in a shorter space of time, not keeping it too long. She wanted to do that for a long time, and then she started hooking up. So, doctors have all agreed to stay healthy is to eat 6 small snacks within this same rhythm. So the clock, now when you come to the clock on the chart, you will see if you eat a small breakfast of nuts and fruit in the morning from 7 till 9, that will satisfy the stomach. If you eat your anti-toxic food in the form of citrus fruits, that will satisfy the spleen between 9 and 11. And therefore, if, say, you inadvertently went and eat ham and eggs in the morning and potato and french fry or bread and all these different things, and you wanted to really clean out and not have the effect, at 9, 10 o'clock you could take some citrus juice to phase that out. So here is where the citrus juice is an actual therapy for eating at the wrong time. So you see, nature gives you the leeway. Supposing I went and eat some cereal and some bread for breakfast, and then I got a crazy tummy. It's out in the wrong cycle of time. And therefore, what do I should do? I wait until 9 to 11. I'll take the anti-toxin food, which is the vitamin C, now in the form of the citrus juice, and go drink it, and it'll start settling the stomach. And before you know it, I'm phasing it out. So that is, now you see, that is two meals in one light cycle to normalize. Now, middle of the day, if you eat the vegetables and the meat, or just the vegetables, from 11 o'clock right up to 3 o'clock, that's the heart and the small intestines. Invariably, anyone who eats out of the light cycle and have a problem around 12:30 to 1 o'clock usually end up having a heart attack. Most heart attacks in the office is around that time, in the after lunch. If you know anyone who had a heart attack, it's always after lunch. And so they don't know what to do, they have to rush them to the hospital, but 9 times out of 10 they'll give them oxygen, and oxygen is very valid at that time to release the pressure, and they start breathing again. Otherwise they die on arrival.
What was your snack that you were doing that time? What was the proper snack?
Grain, or if you're eating grain, you want to eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. Anything that grows above the ground. Mm-hmm. But some people, and I remember one buddy had a heart attack, and he was on the plane with me, and I was flying from Boston to Houston, and I remember what they served for lunch. They had an option between the pork chop, the beef, and the rice, the beans, the spaghetti, and the cupcake, the coffee. I only had the coffee and the cupcake, and some of the rice, and I pushed the other stuff away. I finished eating, and all of a sudden I hear over the intercom, "Is there a doctor on board? You know, is there a doctor on board?" Nobody answered. "Is there a doctor on board?" I get up and look around. I see nobody. I said, "Can I help? I'm a physical therapist." "What's the problem?" "So, well, this man seems to have a heart problem. There's an attack. And we don't know what's the problem." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Yes, I'm trying to get him oxygen." I said, "Did you eat the lunch, sir?" He said, "Yeah, I ate the lunch." And I looked at the, where the lunch was. I said, "We had a heart attack in the accommodation." She said to me, the hostess said, "Do we have to stop the plane? The nearest stop is Memphis. It's about 10 minutes from the flight. We'll stop in there and get the medicine of his own." In fact, he's on his way to Dr. Debakey for heart surgery in Houston, Texas, and I'm flying to Texas. He says, well, for what we ate more, I'll sit down with the man and the woman next to him says, please use my seat. I said, okay. He didn't have to stop the plane to get his medicine. So I sat down with him and then I checked the pulse and I knew the blood pressure was going too fast. So I had to react to the meridians to release the pressure. And I started talking to him. I said, which one of the foods you put in first? He said, oh, I had the pork chop and the potatoes and the rice. But I had the rice first, it's painful, then I put the pork chop in. And so after I finished eating everything, it was about 3 seconds I felt the reaction in my stomach. I said, okay. Work his finger slowly to relieve the pressure, check his neck, and I said, now yawn. He's breathing really good. I start talking with him. The nurse, the officer said, can we get anything for him? I said, yes, if you get some tomato juice. She wanted me to get tomato juice. She wanted to get the tomato juice. And I said, okay, just sip it. The juice, now if they had strawberries or they had melon juice, melon would be very, very reactive. Strawberry juice would be more, it would have helped to reduce the pressure. But since they didn't have that, I use the antitoxin vitamin food. Most obvious one would be the tomato, that kind of thing. So as you sip it, whatever toxicity was going on, the conflict between the meat and the vegetables and the bread, this started to stabilize. So we drove in a plane until we arrived in Houston. And when the plane arrived, they had the ambulance waiting for them and walked with them to the ambulance. Then he gave me a took my address and found a very good. But this is to show that at that time of day, if you have a kind of a reaction, it's going to fall right in the heart and it's going to be a heart of blood. And it's a combination that does it. Something at the wrong time. Now, to ease the situation, antitoxin food, the best thing to put back in there to stay back. Now, later on in the afternoon, Nisha has provided a fruit to clean you up from the uric acid and from what you've eaten in the pan and the pork or the chicken. You take the melon and the cantaloupes. They are perfect afternoon cleansing foods. So that's a snack. So you got four meals already. One for cleaning, one for maintenance. Nighttime, you come into foods above the drum. She doesn't give you the heaviest food at night. What kind of food she gives at night? A milder form of food, and the tissues are milder than the what? The cow or the chicken, right? Seafood is lighter in content, lighter to absorb. If you think back, anytime when you had seafood versus when you had a chicken, you had beef, which one seems more easy to digest? Fish, right? Yeah, it's much more relaxed. So nighttime food, that's why they eat the egg and the fish at night. Now, nature also realized that you're going to get clogged up, you're going to want to go to sleep. So what would be ideal is to phase it down, clean it out, so she put in the pineapple.